Good morning. It's good to see each one here this morning. We are grateful for your presence. Let me say before I get into the lesson, thank you so much to each of you who have expressed your condolences this morning, and for those who have called and who have checked in with us. We greatly appreciate it. Your prayers are very much appreciated as we leave out this afternoon to head down to Alabama, and we'll be there for the next few days. Certainly, Shay appreciates them very much as well, and wanted me to thank you for that. For the last few weeks, we have been studying concerning work, the work of the church. And we've talked about a lot of different things when it comes to the work of the church. We've talked about God's role in the work of the church. We have talked about the work of the elders in the church. We've talked about the work of the deacons in the church. We've talked about the evangelist's role in the work of the church. And then we've talked about the role and the work of men and women in the church. I told Art Wednesday night after he had given his devotional that he gave the perfect introduction to my lesson this morning. Because what we're going to do this morning as we conclude this particular series is we're going to talk about putting it all together and what it means and preparing to make application for us when it comes to us both individually and as a congregation with the people had a mind to work. The verses that David read for us just a few moments ago in Nehemiah 4 give us an indication of the mindset and the framework of the people who were working at that time. And we're going to get into that a little bit more as we delve into our lesson this morning. As we begin, I want you to think about something. Maybe you've heard this particular phrase before. Maybe you've used it at various times. But you know, we often hear people use various statements that are found in Scripture, such as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. Or maybe they'll use the passage where Jesus is talking in Matthew 19, verse 26, and say, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Or maybe we'll use the passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 18 and in verse number 14, where there God in the days of Abraham says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, with all three of these passages and many others like them, these are some beautiful verses and some beautiful principles that are important when it comes to remembering the presence and the power of God. But you know, sometimes we have a tendency to utilize these passages of Scripture outside of their context and outside of their application. Because sometimes we get the idea, or we tend to seem as though we get the idea, that, well, since I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and there's nothing that's too hard for the Lord, there's not all that much that I have to do because He's going to take care of it all. I can just sit back and relax because God's got it all taken care of. And yet, that's not what these verses are intended to communicate to us. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Philippians chapter 4, he is sitting in Roman prison. And he is talking about the fact that he can be live through a situation where he is either being blessed with a great deal or he is being, as most people would see it, cursed with nothing. He knows how to prosper. He knows how to be empty. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You come to this idea of anything being too hard for the Lord. No, there's not anything that's too hard for the Lord. But that doesn't mean that everything is just going to happen without any work from us. So this morning, for the next few minutes, I want us to consider some things from the book of Nehemiah. I recognize Nehemiah is going to be one of the lessons that we're going to discuss this week during VBS. So kids, if you're paying attention this morning, you'll have a leg up this week. And maybe you'll teach the teacher a thing or two. But this morning we want to examine a little bit about the book of Nehemiah. And a little bit about the circumstances that are talked about there as we put together our mentality, our mindset, as to how we're going to work from this time forward. We've talked about the fact that all of us have jobs to do. All of us have things that the Lord expects us to do, things that the Lord wants us to be doing, things that we can do. There may be some things that we cannot do. There may be some things that we just simply don't have the ability to accomplish ourselves. But there are things that we can do. So how do we approach it? How do we deal with these things? First of all, we have to keep the perspective that while it is true to remember the power of God, and while it's absolutely vital that we remember who it is that's in control, that doesn't mean that God is going to do our work for us. It doesn't mean that God is going to step up and fill in the gaps when we refuse to do what God says is our responsibility to do. We've got a job. And it's a job that we have to fulfill. And therefore, we have to remain motivated to fill that duty and to fulfill what God wants us to do, if we're going to receive the full bounty of the Lord's blessings that He wants to lay upon us in our work for Him. When you examine the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah lays before us a very strong example of work and working together to fulfill the goals that are set before us. When you turn over to the book of Nehemiah, you find that in the days of Nehemiah, there is a great deal that needs to be accomplished. In Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king, and he hears that there are great problems and great distresses back in his homeland, in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem has been rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah. The city itself has been rebuilt. The temple, by this time, has been rebuilt. And yet, in reality, the city of Jerusalem is only a shadow of its former self. As a matter of fact, when the people saw the new temple that had been constructed, the old men cried because they remembered the glory of Solomon's temple, and this didn't come close. The city of Jerusalem is one that used to be this great and majestic city, and now it's a city that is struggling to survive in the days of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah gets permission to return to the city of Jerusalem, and he gets permission from the king to do that. And so in chapter 2, he comes back to the city of Jerusalem, and he begins to survey the situation. And one of the greatest of all problems in the city of Jerusalem is the walls that used to stand to protect the people and to protect the city from enemies outside have been left thoroughly decimated. There's not one rock still standing upon another. So Nehemiah begins to call the elders of the city together after taking a nighttime roundabout of the city walls where they used to be and seeing what needs to be done. And Nehemiah tells them of the reason that he is here, and he tells them the purpose of what it is that they need to do. And they respond in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, and they say, "Let us rise up and build." And they set their hands to this good work. They saw a need. They saw work that needed to be done. They saw someone who was standing and was ready to lead them and was willing to move them in the direction that they needed to go. And they were willing to follow through. When you come into chapter 3, you begin to see the list that Nehemiah gives of all of those who begin to help in the building of the wall of Jerusalem. And it's not just the laborers. It's not just the lowly that are working in this particular project. As a matter of fact, the very first individuals mentioned in chapter 3, verse 1 is Elisha, the high priest, and his family. Now, not everyone works. There are those who refuse to put their hands to the task. You look down in chapter 3, down to verse number 5, and the nobles of the Tekoites, they sent their underlings to go work, but the nobles didn't work. They sent back. And there were others that refused to work, but the overwhelming majority of the people in Jerusalem began working feverishly on fulfilling the project of rebuilding the wall. But when they do, they face problems. Because there are those in the area that don't want the walls to the city of Jerusalem rebuilt. They don't want that power to be reestablished in the city of Jerusalem. They like the fact that Jerusalem is on its knees. There are some who will offer to assist, quote unquote. And yet Nehemiah says, no, this is our job and we're going to do it. And they begin to work against Nehemiah. And they begin to try to destroy the things that they are trying to accomplish in building the wall. As a matter of fact, it's going to get so bad, they are going to threaten the lives of all of those who are working. To the point that they are going to be required, those who are working on the wall, are going to be required to have a weapon in one hand, whether it was a staff or a spear or a bow or whatever it is, while they're building with the other hand. And yet they continue to build the wall. In spite of all of the opposition, in spite of all of the problems that are going on, they continue to do what they had set about to do because they had a mindset to work. And in Nehemiah chapter 6 and in verse 15, Nehemiah says they built the entire wall from beginning to end, all the way around the city, in 52 days. We can't get a road constructed over the course of a mile in 52 weeks. They built an entire wall around the city in 52 days. And you know how they did it? They did it because they all worked together. And they had a mindset to work. You know who the greatest limiter of our abilities and of what we can accomplish is? We are. We are the greatest limiters of what we can do. What is our mindset? Are we learning from Nehemiah? Are we learning about what it takes and what it is that we are going to be focused on? Yes, we're not interested and we're not focused on building physical walls today. But are we just as interested in working to build the church into what it can be and what it should be and what God wants it to be in this place, as Nehemiah and his people were in building Jerusalem to what it could be, what it should be in his day? You know, we are about to embark on VBS. And I know that there's a number of you that have a lot of different things that you're going to be doing over the next few days. But you know, there's always room for more. There's always room for more help. There's always room for more things that need to be done. I think I saw where Nancy put out a message last night. I believe it was last night. Saying, we need help. We're going to be here this afternoon. We're going to be here tonight. If you can help, come on. What's our mindset? What's our approach? Is it all there will be somebody else to take care of that, or somebody else is already dealing with that, somebody else is already working on that, therefore they don't need me? Well, you know, know what? They might not need you in this particular area, but they can probably use you over here. The overwhelming point I want us to see this morning, we have spent the last few minutes talking about the work of the church in its various areas over the last few weeks. But you know, if all we're going to do is talk, we're wasting our time. And all of the things that we've studied and all the things that we've talked about are worthless. Unless we start putting them to action. Now folks, I'm not saying for a moment that nobody's doing anything. Or that nobody cares, or that nobody's working, or that nobody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. But you know, one of the things that each of us needs to do on a regular basis, one of the things that the Lord wants us to do on a regular basis, is to examine where we are. Are we where we should be? Are we doing what we should be doing? Are we active and are we participating and are we pulling our weight the way that we can and the way that we should? We recognize we all have different abilities. We all have different limitations as to what we can do and what we can't do. But you know, so many times it's the case that we let our perception of our limitations keep us from doing the things that we can do. Just because I can't do this over here. So where are you in your work in the church? Are you one who is keeping a mindset to do everything that you can? Because if this congregation is going to flourish, if this congregation is going to be everything that God wants it to be, it's going to take more than just me. It's going to take more than just me and the elders. It's going to take more than just me and the elders and the deacons. It's going to take more than just us and a few choice members. It's going to take every single one of us working together. On more than one occasion, in the 2 months that I've been here, I've heard various of the elders make statements along the lines, "I wish we could find somebody to take this on. I wish we could find somebody who would be willing to volunteer to help in this particular area. I wish we could find somebody to do this particular thing, but so far we've not been able to." Folks, there's work that needs to be done. There's jobs that we need people to fill, and there's people in this congregation that are qualified to fill every job that is being discussed. Now, that doesn't mean one person needs to fill all of the jobs. But you know, if everybody's doing their part, if everybody's building the wall and working together, you know what happens? You can have a couple of people that can get a lot accomplished in a particular area because they don't have to worry about another area. Somebody else is taking care of that. When you go back to Nehemiah chapter 3, you know what one of the things that you find is? You find that each family and each group that is going through and working has a specific section. Nehemiah didn't just say, you know what, everybody go and work. Everybody's trying to work in this one little area. They each had a designated area. They each had something to do. And as long as they did their section, everything got done. But what happens when somebody says, "I don't like this area. I want to work in this area. I don't like having to do this. I want to do something else." Folks, that's when things fall apart. Jobs go unfulfilled. And people begin to struggle. As we consider our work and the things that God expects of us, I want you to ask yourself one question. What am I going to do from today forward? Not what have I done in the past. Not what have I done in the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 30 years, what am I going to do starting right now? What is it that I know that I can do and I know that I should have been doing for a long time now, and I've been letting myself stand in my own way? How am I going to be better working for God starting now? Because I don't care who you are. I don't care whether it's me. I don't care whether it's the elders or the deacons or the newest member in the congregation. We all have areas we can do better. We all have areas that we can improve and that we can do more and that we can better fulfill what it is that God wants us to be doing. But we have to be willing to look and to find those things if we're going to accomplish the task. We've got to be willing to face our own fears. We've got to be willing to face the things that, and the doubts that oftentimes get put in our head that says, I can't do this. Because you know what? Satan is really good at getting us to doubt what we can do. And if we spend all of our time focusing on the things that we can't do, focusing on the things that we can't accomplish, or all of the ways that the different things won't work, you know what happens? Nothing. And when enough of us start feeling that way and start acting that way, the church becomes stagnant. And it can't move forward. We have the potential, right here, right now, we have the potential to take great strides, both spiritually, in our knowledge and in our understanding, in our devotion, in our love toward God, but also physically in the work that we do and in the way that we accomplish His will and in the way that we reach out to our community. We have the potential to take great strides. But you know who's going to determine whether or not we do? You and me. It's up to us. It's not a matter of whether or not God is going to be with us and God is going to watch over us and God is going to bless our efforts if we take the work that He has given us and we fulfill it with all of our might. The question is, are we going to do it? Seem to remember a certain statement in Scripture that says, the Lord's word never returns to Him void. Which means if something seems to be happening that is void, that is empty, it's not God's fault. We need to start looking here. What are we doing? What is our focus? You know, as we move forward from today, this congregation needs a lot of things. We need active participants. We need people that are willing to take on the work that needs to be done. And you know, it's always a lot easier when you have people coming up to you and saying, what can I do, than it is when you're having to try to track people down to see if they'd be willing to do something. So question, have you asked what you can do? Have you asked what needs to be done? Have you asked what area you can assist in? We need active participants. And we need every single one of us involved. We need leaders. And we need workers. You know, sometimes maybe an individual's not cut out to lead in a particular area or to help take charge of a particular area, but they can work in that particular area. We need leaders and workers across the spectrum of the things that we're trying to accomplish. We need ideas and planners. Shouldn't be left up to one or two people to come up with every idea or with everything that needs to be done. Now, that doesn't mean that every idea is A, a good one, and B, one that can be implemented at that particular time. But we need people who are coming coming up with ideas, with options, trying to utilize the things that we have at our disposal, trying to make opportunities to be able to talk to people about the gospel, to be able to reach out with God's word, to be able to influence others for Christ. We need teachers and students. You know, I've not been in a congregation yet where they had too many teachers. Too many who were willing to help. To teach, whether it be in a Bible class, whether it be in a Bible study, whether it be doing a devotional at a youth event, whether it be any number of things. But you know what? In order for those teachers to be effective, there have got to be people here to listen. And you know, you may be sitting there today as we get ready for BDS and say, you know what? I can't do anything for BDS. I just don't have the ability to do anything in that regard that's going to help in a lot of these areas. You know what you can do? If you can't do anything else, you can be here. You know, one of the greatest things that an individual can do is encouraged by their presence. You know what's sometimes the hardest for a preacher when it comes to things like BDS? You'll have 100 kids and 10 adults in the adult class. Did you know we don't call this Children's Vacation Bible School? We have classes for all ages for a reason. We have lessons for all ages for a reason. Yes, we spend a lot of time focusing on our children, and we want them to learn God's Word, and we want them to know what God's Word says, and we want to be able to introduce God and His Word to those who maybe never had an opportunity to hear it before. But folks, I don't care if you're 9 or 90, you need more time studying God's Word. And those classes will benefit you as well. Are you going to be here? Are you going to brighten everybody's day by your presence? Are you going to be able to encourage those children to study, to learn, to grow, because they'll see that you care? How are we working? What are we going to do? What are you going to do starting today? I know we've talked a lot about BDS. I think it was appropriate that this lesson fell just before this. But folks, we're not just talking about BDS. BDS is going to be over on Friday. We got a lot of work to do after that. We got a lot of things that need to be done. We've got a lot of people to reach out to with God's Word. What are we going to do? If you're here this morning, where do you stand before God? Are you obedient to His will? Are you living your life in His service? Or maybe you're one who needs to obey the gospel this morning, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to repent of your sins, to confess Him before men, and to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away. Why not do it today? Leave here this morning on the right terms with God. Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've not been living faithful to Him. You've not been living according to His standards. You've been living your life your own way instead of letting Him lead you. And you need to come back. You need to get your life right with Him. If we can assist you and pray for you in any way, we would love to have the opportunity to do that. But if we can help you in any way this morning, maybe it's just in helping you find the work that you can do. I know some elders who'd love to talk to you. And if we can assist you in any way, would you come as we stand and as we sing?